Okay, I'll do a quick roll call. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening on today's JAS call on Tuesday, the 5th of October. We have Avery Doria, who seems to still be disconnected, Evan Leibovich, Carlos Aguirre, Alex Kakuru, Cheryl Langdon-Orr, Rafik Damak, Alan Greenberg, Dave Kisundoyal, Andrew Mack. From staff, we have Carla Vendlente and myself, Gisela Gruber-White. And we have apologies from Sébastien Bachelet and Eric Brunner-Williams. Could I also please remind everyone to state their names when speaking for transcript purposes. Thank you. Over to you, Evan. Avery still seems to be disconnected.
Okay. While waiting for Avery to come in, first thing we'll do is update everybody's statement of interest. So if there is anybody whose SOI has changed or their situation has changed since the last call, please speak now and indicate the change. Okay, hearing silence, I'll go under the assumption that there have been no changes to the SOIs, and we will continue to move forward. The intent is that we will pick up where we left off from the end of the last call on Friday. My hope was to get Avery to come in and and show that she has actually been very busy working on the document since Friday and making changes that have been suggested within this call. Unfortunately, she is not. She's having problems connecting. So while that's going on, I'd like to try and pick up where we left off, and then when Avery connects, we will we'll come back to this. Okay, there. So I see.
Thank you very much.
Elaine has joined.
Okay, I'm back again.
Oh, okay, perfect timing. Okay, we've got the SOI stuff out of the way in the intros, Avery, so you're good to go.
Okay, thanks. So I took the draft and I tried to update it based on what had been said during the meeting and trying to come up on various stuff. So what's in front of you, what was sent out as a clean copy, has most of the edit in italics, especially if I add in a new section. If it was just a word change or a correction or something like that, I might have missed putting it in italics. All of the consensus level calls that I think we made, I took out of brackets, but of course they can still be further discussed. But the fact that they're no longer in brackets means that I think I understood from the last call and things on the list and move them one closer to being. I also added some general stuff at the beginning that I just wanted to point out, and it's up to Evan whether he wants to continue from where we were or look at these additional statements. For example, at 114, 118, I put a little bit of explanation of what is in this report. I added a bunch of text based on some of the discussions we had last time on explaining the levels at 133 through 151. I think it's exactly what was discussed during the meeting without issue, but please, you know, we could take a look at it, as I say, when Evan feels that. I added a statement, 158, 159, about, A, there is full consensus on the working group to release the following. I've got that level in brackets. The only reason I put those two levels in is because if we don't have one of those two, then we have no business releasing a report, and we should continue talking. And that means that there's consensus on releasing the report, not necessarily full consensus on every issue, because those are indicated later in the report. As I say, I did a bunch of editing where, you know, I moved around some of the full consensus as opposed to leaving them all at the end there. On 6, we talked about a rewording of that one or possibly doing something with it, so I've got it in italics. That was, sorry, not on 6, I should say, on lines 206 through 210. I added a statement at 231, 236 in italics, which I believe came out of the discussion. People will need to read it and see that it does consist of what was being said by people. I just added in some introductory words at 260 to 262, but because they're new words, they're bracketed in italics. At 275, 278, again, I added some introductory words to the paragraph, again in italics, and italics are bracketed so they're new words and people should take a look at them. I don't think there's a lot of controversy. 286 through 294, I took a crack at the wording to do with shared risk pools, etc. As we have seen on the mailing list, my degree of understanding on this is somewhat suspect. So obviously those words need to be, and I did retain the consensus indicators as bracketed on that. I divided it into two statements, etc. I also bracketed from 304 to 312 that wording, tried to clean it up a little, and that. But I think that those still need to be dealt with. That was one where we talked about possibly having a poll because we didn't know what. We couldn't tell what the group's level was. Other types of aid, again, I put in introductory paragraphs and some explanations of what was being said, but the wording was all reworded and therefore it's in italics. And I think that's where we are at the moment. Am I correct?
Yeah. What line number in the new document, what line number did we leave off? I think we were at 374.
Right, which I think at the moment is close to 314 when we had the other types of aid. But as I say, I restructured that a little. And
well,
that
right now,
a lot of bracketed stuff in it, but then we went further. So you're right. This
Avery,
is one
my preference right now up. Is to pick up where we left off and then try and get through the document and then have another once-over after your changes.
Okay, in which case I think we're further because 371, I also included the minority view that had been spoken of. We were in that area. Perhaps applicants not entitled to receive support. I'd have to look at the previous document or someone would.
Well,
I think
we got our way through is who should be eligible to get it. What we didn't get to was the ones explicitly excluded.
Okay, so yeah, that's then where I thought. So we are at 374.
Okay, so like I say, we're inviting comment on Avery's work on the stuff done to date. But what I'd like to do right now is rather than continue to revisit that first half of the document, see if we can come to at least some reasonable conclusions on the rest of the document and then have another once-over on the document with Avery having taken everyone's views in these calls into consideration. So hopefully we can put this to bed with a little luck by the end of the week. So I'm moving right into point 3.9, which on your screens is going to be line number 374. And so... again, this is going to be a matter we're going to go through them point by point. Put your hand up in Adobe Connect or get somebody's attention if you're not in Adobe Connect, and we're going to go through these. All right, so in 3.9, We are talking about the applicants that we are explicitly excluding from getting support. In lines 377 to 379, we have some materials that are in square brackets saying brand group that, so brands and groups that should be self-supporting companies should be excluded. And then it's then we've got square brackets, except from those countries where markets are not wide enough for a reasonable profit-making industry. So this goes back to some of what we were talking about at the end of the last meeting. There was a minority viewpoint saying for-profit companies should not be eligible. Do we have that same view here? Rafiq, go ahead. And then Andrew. Rafiq, go ahead.
I am just I want to comment about the brackets that accept those from the market are not wide enough. I understand that there is echo. That we add that for entrepreneur. I don't think that we need to help brands or groups. I'm not sure that, for example, a telecom operator in a developing country, even if the market is not enough, something like that can have any kind of support.
Okay, so Rafiq, if I read you right, you would eliminate everything in the square brackets.
Yeah.
You would simply say brands groups should be self-supporting companies and should be ineligible for support. Okay, Andrew, go ahead.
Yeah.
In the conversations that I've had with Eric and with Richard, I think Rafiq, we'd respectfully disagree with you. The idea is to what we're working on is a proposal that would basically limit it to people who are local to the script. In the case of support for IDN. So if you're talking about support for like technical support, I don't think that there's a problem. But when we're talking about IDN support, we're hoping that as a way of adding to the number of people who are using the scripts and creating to critical mass that. We leave it as open as possible for anybody who is from that script area, who is like Thai companies in Thai, things like that.
Andrew, so to keep up with what you're saying, then if a telecom, even if it was a telecom in a poor country, if they were proposing an IDN script to support a small market, then you would argue that support should be offered, even if it was a large telecom in that country.
Again, we have the different types of support, right? On the IDN side, what we were looking at was specifically price, right, and some sort of an incentive to get it built out and to get more names in. And so that would be the focus. I wouldn't anticipate the need for some of the other kinds of support that we were looking at.
Okay, but that's some very specific new wording that we've got to introduce here that doesn't exist. I mean, to get across the spirit of what you're saying does not exist in the document right now.
You asked us to go back and take a look at it and see if we couldn't come up with some compromise positions and things like that that would capture what everybody's looking at. So that's where we are. Sorry. Trying.
Okay.
I'll just hands up and then after I'll ask questions.
Okay. To Jenny, you're next. Go ahead.
Thank you. I think that a telecom company in those countries where the market is not wide enough for reasonable profit making cannot be rich. And in any case, any support cannot be provided to people who are not in the need. So the need criteria is always the first. And then if there is a telecom company, for example, who is in need, and who try to develop an IDN script in a country where the market is not wide enough for profit making, I don't think that it is wrong to put it.
Okay, thank you, Alan.
I was just going to comment on the overriding need issue. Now, whether one can judge whether a telecom company in a developing country is indeed in need or not may be questionable, but that's going to be a judgment call in all cases. and I'm not sure this is a lot different. I don't feel particularly strongly over the point, and I don't think we should. I think these are going to be edge cases at best. So I'd prefer to see it left in, but I don't.
Okay.
I don't know how much I want to fight over it. Thank you.
Okay. Rafiq, go ahead.
Okay. Just if I understand, Andrew, it's the case, the exception is for IDN. If I understand correctly. But just about, I really bring in particular the example of telecom company, because even in Africa, it's really few telecom company who are present in many countries. And even if I take the example of telecom company in Tunisia, it has a revenue in billions of dollars, not just millions. So it's in the top of the three company in the national wide. So I don't think that they need
Would a company like that not lose immediately on the need criteria, which was considered primary?
Yeah, but anyway, I am really opposed to help any kind of branding or any marketing. It's not our target.
Can we basically come to an agreement that, similar to the previous point that we had at the end? Okay, Carlos, go ahead.
Thank you, Ivan. I have a short comment. I think brands are brands in everywhere around the world. I agree with Rafiq and Tijani. For me, brands, groups that should be self-supporting companies would be the definite text in the sentence. Thank you.
Okay, Avery.
Okay, yeah. I've been listening, and I've got some language. I don't know if it meets. First of all, I think it's only consensus language, not full consensus language. And it has a minority.
Avery, what about doing what was done in the immediately previous section, saying there's a minority position stating
that's essentially what I was in the process of proposing.
Okay.
The language is slightly different. So we have brands, groups that should be self-supporting companies, except for those from countries where market constraints make normal business operations more difficult, and who are proposing a name in IDN script not currently supported, consensus. And there was a minority view in the group that brands and entrepreneurial should not be included among those entitled to receive support.
Is there anybody here who is opposed to that kind of wording that indicates that we have a consensus, but we also have a strongly expressed minority position? Okay.
Sounds very accurate. Thank you, Albert.
Okay. All right. Let's move on. We're now at line 380. Now, remember, these are other criteria that should not be considered. And so these are applications based on geographic names, purely government, parastate applications, unsustainable business models, and to the end of 386. Is there any disagreement?
On 382, I had an indecision. I wasn't sure whether they had full consensus or consensus, and if there was still a minority view. I remember back at the beginning, we had a fair amount of discussion about yes, they should be, no, they shouldn't be, and I wasn't quite certain that we had full consensus, so I did put a choice in there.
Okay, well, let's throw this open right now. On the areas between line 380 and 386, is there anybody on this call who is against those being excluded from consideration from aid? Is there anybody on this call? Either speak up or show an X if you are opposed to anything that is written between 380 and 386.
Evan, excuse me, I'm not on Adobe. Maybe just the highlight of the line.
These are things to be excluded from geographic names, purely government or parastate applicants. applicants whose business model does not demonstrate sustainability. There is full consensus that guidelines and safeguards must be established to prevent any abuse of the support program. I'm trying
okay,
to
thanks.
If anybody disagrees with those points. I'm not seeing any disagreement, so I'm going to suggest, Avery, that you're okay to put in 380 to 386 as full consensus.
Okay, Doug.
Avery, I just mentioned, I think it's parastatal as opposed to parastate.
Okay, sure. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, moving on to line to point 3.10, which is line 387, proposed constraints on aid. Constraint has the second T in it, Avery.
Oh, thank you. Constraint. What line is constraint?
387.
Oh, yeah. Has a T in it. Thank you.
Okay. So essentially saying the working group agreed on principles recommended to guide the community as the support process is finalized. So we reach consensus on the need for self-financing responsibility on the part of any significant applicant for formal assistance. No more than 50% of the reduced fee may be provided by a development program from ICANN. There's a full consensus on a sunset period, perhaps 5 years after which no further support would be offered. Support requests and levels of grant should be made public to encourage transparency. And receipt of some support from government should not disqualify an applicant from receiving GTLD support. However, the process is not designed to subsidize government-led initiatives. And there is a clause regarding repayment in case of success. And so... Okay, so that takes
There's
us...
There's a couple things in there I'd like to point out, if
yeah.
I could.
So essentially that takes us to line 410. Most of those points had either consensus or full consensus. There's a couple of spots, Avery, where Avery has put in square brackets to get clarification, but other than that, it seems most of these issues have full consensus. One of the issues is on... point E, which is line 403, the word community is put in square brackets, and so we want to find out whether or not we want to say that we want to limit that to community. So the receipt of some support from government should not disqualify an applicant from receiving GTLD support, or the receipt of some support from government should not disqualify a community applicant from receiving GTLD support. So is the sense of this group that we should have the word community left into this or taken out? Can I get a show of checks or X's whether or not the word community as a qualifier should remain in that sentence? Put a check mark if you want to keep the word community. Put an X if you want it taken out. Could you please do that now?
I would like it to remain. This is Alex, not on Adobe.
Okay.
Yes, Alex. Do you want to remove it? Alex?
We have a...
Yes, Tijani?
What?
You want to remove it or to put it?
To remain.
If you want it removed, check if you want it kept in.
Okay.
Okay, and I am seeing almost a 50-50 split here. I'm seeing three check marks and four X's. So we seem to have full consensus on most of the rest of this. Okay, if you could remove your checks and X's, that'd be appreciated. So essentially, Avery, I don't know how we want to word this, but there is a divergence whether or not Clause E should be limited to community applicants.
Now, and obviously, from looking at this, it needs to be rewritten somehow so that it shows that there's, I think there were more X's but slightly. It's really it's almost a divergence.
It was
on whether community or not. So I need to find a way to restructure this. It's basically on the issue. What I'll have to say is on the issue of disqualifying those who receive support from governments. There were a split view, some of whom I'll have to restructure. I can't think of it straight now, but
okay.
I'll have to offer new wording that basically explains that we have a split. Tijani might have a suggestion while I'm thinking.
And in fact, Tijani has his hand up, so go ahead.
That's what I said.
Okay, thank you. Since it's almost the first time that we have this divergence, I propose that a question to the list is asked, and in this case, according to the number of check marks or crosses, we can decide if there is a real divergence or if there is a big support and some against.
Okay. Avery, if you're offering to reword this, I think it's possible to come up with something. It appears we have consensus on the principle, though not on that specific limitation of community. Let me ask right now, is there anybody on this call who has an issue or disagreement with this section, 310, between line 387 and lines 410? So right now, most of these points are either listed as consensus or full consensus. Is there anybody on this call who, given what we just said about that one clause eat, is there anybody on this call who has a problem or an issue with anything in this particular clause 3.10? Speak now. In the absence of comment now, I'm going to suggest that, notwithstanding the change we just discussed, that we have full consensus on these points. Last call? Okay, so Avery will mark 310 as having full consensus subject to that little rejigging of clause.
Okay, so in other words, I should change everywhere where I said consensus to full consensus?
I'm not reading any opposition, so I think that's in order. Elaine, go ahead.
It's not full consensus. This is Elaine.
Pardon? Elaine? Elaine, are you there?
Yes. I'm sorry, did you say something?
You have your hand up, Elaine.
I just wanted to point out that the entire section does not have full consensus. There are parts that have full consensus, and there are parts that only have consensus, so...
Well, that's why I'm asking right now, if there's anybody that has an issue with anybody, with anything in this, in anything in section 3.10, with the exception of this, of this, of the rewording on community that we just discussed. The only divergence was on the addition of the word community there. Outside of that, I'm not reading any disagreement with point 3.10.
Okay,
are you in
agreement?
No, are you, why? Are you close
to 3.10? Why on 395 does it say consensus instead of full consensus? 401,
okay. Yeah.
What we're trying to do on the call right now is to clarify these things. Right. And so without anybody with an issue with it, it is reasonable to say we have full consensus on it.
Yeah, let me explain why I put consensus in there. On A, I put consensus in there because there had been many conversations on should it be 50, should it not be 50, should it, you know.
Avery, I don't hear anything.
Okay, sorry. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
I sound like I'm in a commercial. Okay. The reason I only put consensus on A, 310A, is because there had been many conversations that were, there seemed to be a general consensus that there had to be probably about 50, but was 50 really the right number? Could it be another number?
You know, should we limit it in that way? So I put consensus there, and of course I invite anyone that is outside that consensus to give me a suggestion for a minority view. The sunset period, I don't remember anyone objecting. On the transparency, there were some discussions of to what degree should things be transparent? Does this, you know, to what degree are we giving away information that may or may not be business, private, et cetera. So therefore, I put consensus, and I invite anybody with a minority view to tell me what I should put in the minority view. And obviously, on the limited government support, we're talking about, if anything. So, by the way, let me read what I've sort of rewritten on that one and see if I'm getting close. On E, the receipt of some support from government should not disqualify all applicants from receiving PPLD support. However, the process is not designed to subsidize government-led incentives. Giving that consensus, divergence gone. There was divergence on whether the exception for some applications where the applicant has government support be limited to community applicants. So at the moment, and this is not prejudging whether Evan decides to follow Tajani's recommendation to do a poll or not. I'm staying out of that one. But at the moment, from what I've heard, that's how I'm trying to express what I've heard. And then the success in repayment, I heard no one saying no to that. So those were the reasons why two of them were marked consensus. Now back to Evan trying to determine whether I'm right or wrong.
Okay, Elaine, go ahead.
Thanks. It makes sense to me to, rather than take a whole grouping of these suggestions, the entire 3.10.
I don't hear you, Elaine.
Elaine, I can't hear you either.
Elaine, please speak up.
I'm sorry. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
That's
better.
Okay. So it makes sense to say we have full consensus or a divergence on each point rather than according to the whole 3.10. I fully agree with Avery that we've had several discussions, and I don't think a hand-raising on this call should determine whether or not only half the people that have been a part of this working group for the last 6 months have, you know, full agreement on a particular point. So I guess what I'm saying is if you're going to do a roll call, if we have full agreement on a particular point where we have less than half of our working group here, that's dismissing all of the previous discussion or the people who aren't on this call today.
Well, when we have a situation where we have consensus but not full consensus, that means that there is some kind of a minority position, and I'm trying to figure out what that is. Right now, nobody's speaking up about what that minority position is. And Elaine, in respect, I would say that most of the people that have been actively involved in this discussion, indeed, I'd say most of them are still around with us. So, and notwithstanding that, this is going to be going out in the mailing list anyway for commentary. So what I'm trying to figure out right now is if we don't have full consensus, I'd like to know where the diversion is. And in the absence of the diversion, I still think that it is reasonable at this point to say that we have full consensus. Anyway, Avery, just make whatever changes you think are reasonable, and we'll put that out and in the document and move on. We are on point 3.11, which starts at 4:12. We have full consensus on that. Is there anybody who wants to speak out against the full consensus on 4:12 to 4:16? Okay. In absence of that, Avery, you can take that out of full bracket, out of square bracket. Okay, we're now on to section 4, next steps. Is there anybody that has a problem with the preamble, paragraph 418 to 423? Okay, moving on the different bullet points. From 424 down to 448, we have marked as consensus on all of them. Can anyone remember a reason why these are not full consensus? Avery, is there, was there
yeah.
any sense of
the
opinion?
Reason I put full consensus, I mean just consensus in this one, and my reasoning is always different, is we only talked about these very little. And there was just not a great feeling on my part that everybody had, you know, bought into all of it. So that's why I basically only said it at consensus, because it just hadn't had lots of talk. I don't remember any particular issue on any of them. But it just wasn't a mature enough discussion for me to feel secure saying we had full consensus on it.
Okay, Avery, is there a way to state in your comment? Well, let's see if we can we can deal with that on this call, but perhaps maybe we can figure a way to state exactly what your sentiment was there, that there was no opposition expressed, but the issue has not been dealt with in substantial detail.
Sure, I mean I could definitely say that, and then could just give a bracket, you know. There appeared to be full consensus on the following proposals. However, none of them have been discussed in depth.
Okay.
And then just remove the individual ones if that's what you all want me to do.
Okay. Well, Tijani, go ahead.
Yes, thank you. May I propose to keep the next steps to the next call, and now go back to what was done by Avery on the beginning of the report, so that we finish with them definitely today. Normally, it doesn't have to be long, because it's only small modifications.
Well, Tijani, we are we're getting, these are pretty well the last consensus steps from what I can see. The rest of the document is sort of addendums and issues like that. So once we get to the end of section four, that was exactly going to be my intent. So I'm just trying to get through this one, and then we'll go back.
The reason why I raise this point is it is perhaps very subjective, because I didn't went very deeply in this section, and I cannot discuss it now because I'm not prepared for it. But if the others are prepared, it's okay.
Okay. Well, what I'm going to suggest here is that we use the wording that Avery has proposed, that indicates that we have, I mean, first of all, is there anybody on this call who is against anything in the next steps section? Is there anyone here who has an issue or disagreement with anything that is marked in the next steps? So that is from lines 417 through to 448. Is there anyone on this call that has any disagreement with any of that wording right now? Okay, since nobody's put up their hand, nobody's spoken, or nobody's put up an X, I'm going to assume that there's no specific disagreement on here. So I'm going to suggest, Avery, that you use the wording that you were talking about, saying that we do not have any particular disagreement, but that we have not discussed this in depth enough to verify we have total and full consensus.
I amended the statement I read out and see if this one works for people. There appeared to be full consensus on these recommendations, but as the issue is really one for the chartering organization, the issues were not discussed in any great depth.
Does anybody have any problems with putting in Avery's commentary, what she just said? I see check marks.
Your commentary looks great.
So, all right. So what I'm going to suggest at this point is we insert that suggested text that Avery has just given us.
And then I'll delete all the other consensuses per line. Yep.
Okay. Now, Avery, as the author of the document, is there anything beyond here that is worth reconsidering before we go back up and start going over your changes to the first section?
Okay, first of all, I call myself the editor of the document, not the author. You all are the authors. I'm just trying to convey what you're saying, just a small point.
What I've got on the rest of it, no. I mean, people have to review it. We have to figure out exactly what we want to do on that. As I've started writing it, no one has contributed any other writing to it. The other thing we need to decide on these frequently asked questions is whether we want to give the answer a consensus level or whether that was, going overboard on my part and they should just be general answers and not worry about having consensus on those answers. So that's a question I pose to you all. You'll see I, the way I did it, I had question, colon, why, answer, colon, consensus level of answer, and then an answer. That was my first thought, and then I thought, well, wait a second, do we really need to get consensus on these explanatories? And that's a question for the group. The other part is looking at answers. I've only taken a first crack at answers. If I don't get any input from anyone, I guess then I'll either have to take the other question and come up with an answer myself from what I think I've heard people say, and if I fail to do that, eliminate the question. I don't know. It's really up to you guys.
Okay. All right. So what I'm going to suggest, and this goes along with what Tijani suggested, from the sounds of it, that we will take the rest to email. So if from anything from frequently asked questions down, since there's no specific issues of consensus after that, we will put that out in the in the report and email. Please read it through. Make sure you're comfortable with the wording. If not, bring it up in email, and we'll discuss it on Tuesday. On Friday. But in the meantime, we have 10 minutes left on this call. So, Avery, if you'd like to call attention to some of the changes you've made in the early sections of the document that we can just sort of go over again and make sure that what's written conveys the spirit of the group.
Okay. Just one thing to add to that. You'll notice most of those are still empty, so people who understand the issues better than me, please contribute text that everyone else can review. If it relies on me writing something, I'll write something.
There anybody who had committed to send you text that did not?
Really don't hear what Avery say.
I am very sorry. I'm trying. I am really trying.
I know, but really I don't understand what you say.
Right.
It's the problem.
Okay, what I said was on that final section of explanations, please, if you've got a better answer, a lot of them I don't have answers. A lot of them, you all know the issues better than I do. If I don't get answers, I will either put something in or I'll delete the question. So if you have an answer, please contribute it. Okay. Going back, 82 to 84. That wasn't the first one, or was it? Yes, that was the first one. The first one there is, decided that the final report will be sent out for a 30-day public multilingual comment simultaneously with being sent to the chartering organizations for review and approval. Is that something you're all comfortable with?
If anybody is opposed to this wording, put in an X mark or speak up now, please.
A quick question, if I could, Avery. When you say it's being put out for multilingual comment, does that mean that we are sending it out in multiple languages, or that it's open for comment only in multiple languages?
We're sending it out in multiple languages. That's something that has been requested, has been done on several groups. And I, tends to be the modus operandi when things are dealt with in the ALAC world. I'm not sure I know exactly what the specific subset of languages that are used is, and I'm not trying to specify that, but I do believe, and perhaps, Evan or Cheryl or someone from the ALAC side can, but yes, it's sent out in multilingual, and they can answer in multilingual. Obviously one language at a time, but...
Carla, could you just... add just some background on that. I believe, like ICANN has five official languages for sending out documents. Are there any issues with the mechanics of doing this?
No issues with the mechanics. So we adopted a system in which all of the documents, at least for the new GTOD program, the documents are in 6 United Nations languages.
Yep.
The only issue that we sometimes have is the timing between posting something between English and other languages, because the translation timing takes time to translate.
So what happens sometimes, Avery, is that the comment period is compressed in other languages because it takes longer to get the translations out.
Right. I don't know if that needs to change the language any. I didn't want to get into the details of the process.
Okay. Is there any opposition? Just put an X or speak up if you are opposed to having the wording go in as is. Cheryl, go ahead.
I'm not opposed. I had a great big green tick earlier, and that was because I was supportive of it. I was coming in on the logistics of it, so ask your support question first and note me as supportive of it.
Do you have something to add to what Carla said about the logistics?
Yes, I do. If we send this out for the translation system at this stage, as it goes out to the list, then there's probably very little impediment to it going out in all languages at the same time as English, because the majority of the language translation will be done, and it would be a matter of the difference between the word full being present or absent next to the word of consensus. And that is not going to be time-consuming, where the majority of the time-consuming parts of the translation can be already getting underway.
So that's a very good idea, except for the fact part also.
Well, yeah, we're talking much smaller amounts of change.
Oh, yeah.
Done in a fast turnaround, in which case you can just say, you know, 30-day public comment in the UN languages, or just 30-day public comment, because technically all public comments should be in multi-languages.
Okay.
Yeah, but it doesn't go without saying yet.
Yeah,
okay.
True. We have to keep pushing it.
Okay, I'm sorry to keep want to push things along. We only have 5 minutes left on this call. So we can take 82 to 84 and take the brackets and italics out of that.
Okay, next spot was 114 to 118, where I basically just give a few words saying what the report contains.
Okay, everyone take a moment to go to that, please. So there's a new paragraph inserted between 114 and 118 in square brackets and italics. Is there anybody on this call who has a difficulty with that wording? Please speak now. Okay, hearing nothing and seeing check marks. Avery, I'm going to suggest it's okay to take out the square brackets and italics from that.
Done. Next section is 133 through 151, where before I had just gone into detail on what consensus and rough consensus meant after last time's conversation, where I explained everything in gory detail. I added words, and I also added the minority explanation of what that was, because as soon as I started using it, I realized that I had defined it. And then I add in 147 the whole in cases of consensus, strong support, blah, 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 an effort is made to document that variance and viewpoint and to present any minority recommendations, not and minority recommendations.
Okay.
Avery Cheryl here. Not only do I support that going in, I would suggest that as a sidebar, ALAC would be very keen to, discuss this as being a very useful, don't know how that happened to useless, it was definitely useful, standardised template text to go into any number of future reports that we're involved with, and would perhaps encourage GNSO to look at it the same way.
I must say I'm actually surprised that no template like this already exists. I mean, these things have been going on for a while.
And not actually. The language that Avery's put in here, Evan, is in fact an embellishment of, but drawn on, levels which are still in a draft guideline, as it hasn't been finalised in the GNSO workgroup guidelines yet.
It's still a process in evolution, so.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Cheryl.
Okay, so we have...
It's from me, Avery. Put it everywhere.
we have in our hands a missing link in that evolution. Okay.
We do, and we need to encourage it.
Yeah, I'll point out that the MAPO discussion, the CWG, is the first time we've really tried to actively use these definitions.
Correct.
The first group that I've been participated in, anyway.
Okay.
Really? Okay.
Yes.
So, we learned something new. Okay, so moving along.
Okay, next one was 158-159.
Okay, I'm just confirming, having heard no opposition, then that stands as is in the document. Okay, moving ahead now to points to recommendation. So line 158-159, go ahead.
Right. I see people starting to leave, and this may be one where we want to stop. I would ask that people ask me to, that the sentence is fine, there is either full consensus or consensus in the working group to release the following recommendations for approval by the charting organization. I would ask people to approve the sentence, but I think we should go back to get the level as the last thing we do on the report.
Okay.
That at the moment, asking people to have consensus on a report with some pieces still burbling is difficult.
Okay. So you're saying even after we've gone through all the wording of this, we may not have full consensus on the document as worded?
I would hope we did. I would hope we did. But it's quite possible that on one section or two sections, you know, just after all the conversation, we still have someone that sort of says, the report is inadequate on point 3, sub F. And I want to, you know, put in a extra comment or something that I do not accept the report is as good as it should be. I have to accept that that's possible. I would prefer to be able to say full consensus, and I don't think we can ask that question until it's complete.
Understood. I mean, obviously, if somebody has a point with individual sections, that we should deal with it at that level, but
right.
I agree with you.
But,
okay,
you know,
on that note,
some reason,
we are
I just failed.
The call, and so we will...
Can I point out one other thing? There is one place you asked me before. There is one place where I am still waiting for a contribution by the close of business Monday. And that section had to do with, where was that section? That section, this section is being reworked, 302, support for build-out and unserved languages and IDNs and new GTLDs. Was that the one? No. I'm sorry. That one not. That one just needed check. There was the... there was work being done by Andrew. Well, maybe I already did the work and people just have to check it.
Okay. So what I'm going to ask is that between now and Friday, that everybody have a good look at the document. I guess you'll put something out given the...
I'll send something out by the close of business today, and anybody that has any text they wanted to give me could give it to me by the close of business today so I get out a report. I can also put out an update Thursday evening if there's been anything drastic or extra contributions.
Okay. And hopefully within the 90 minutes we have on Friday, we will be able to resolve this and have a document that everybody can accept as faithfully capturing the spirit of what we've been doing. And on that note, thank you for coming, and we will see you on Friday.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.